We're holding on. Your Dalet Omud Beis, 13 lines from the bottom. The line begins Ladine. We were discussing the question. So we started discussing the question whether an oval needs to keep his avelos during Chol HaMoed, where you can have two cases. One is where he became an oval before. Now, in many cases, we're going to talk about later in the perek that Yom Tov cancels the avelos, cancels Shiva, cancels Shloshim, but you have cases where it doesn't. So the question would be, in those cases where it doesn't, does he actually follow the rules of avelos during Chol HaMoed? Another possibility could be, particularly the Ravid says we're talking about the Shloshim, where Shloshim is not always canceled by Chol HaMoed. Anyway, so we said that actually it does. Now, for each of the things that we're going to go through now, that one and as well as a bunch of other ones, for each one we're going to go through, do the same rules apply to a menuda, somebody who is a nidui, and do they apply to a metzora? So we were in the middle of discussing the question: suppose a person is a nidui, does he have to follow the rules of nidui during Chol HaMoed? So we tried to bring a proof from the fact that we said that you do dine mominis during Chol HaMoed, and if you do dine mominis, presumably that means that you have to be able to put the person in nidui if he doesn't listen. On the other hand, Abaya says that not necessarily. Maybe it doesn't mean that they actually complete the din Torah and decide the verdict. Maybe it only means they look into it. So we don't have a proof. So we don't have a proof one way or the other yet. The Gemara said, on the other hand, maybe not. Maybe, for example, with Dinin of Foshis, we said they do in fact judge them during Chol HaMoed. They're not supposed to eat on the day of doing Dinin of Foshis. So when they decide the verdict. So how does that fit with the fact that they have to be with Samach to Bechagecha and eat on Chol HaMoed? So the answer is they would give the verdict late in the day. So the same way as they could be doing Dine Nefoshes, conceivably, on Chol HaMoed, the same way maybe they could be doing Dine Mamanis. So the Gemara says, Omer Abaya Toshma, Umenuda Shei. Our Mishnah had said that one of the cases where a person is allowed to cut his hair or do laundry during Chol HaMoed is a Menuda Shei Tiruloi Chachamim. Now, Abaya takes the view, Shei Tiruloi Chachamim makes it sound like a menuda because the Chachamim gave him a heter. In other words, the Chachamim gave him a heter to cut his hair and do laundry. We're going to discuss in the upcoming sugya now, we're going to discuss whether a menuda is allowed to cut his hair or wash his clothes during the time that he's in nidui, and we're going to say that not. So Abaya is saying the fact that it uses the expression menuda shei tiruloi chachamim seems that it means a menuda is allowed to during Chol HaMoed. Why? Because shei tiruloi chachamim, because the chachamim gave him a heter to do that during Chol HaMoed. So you see, therefore, that he doesn't have to keep the dinim of nidui during Chol HaMoed. Omar Rava, but Rava says that's not a proof. Mikatani shei tiruhu chachamim. If the Mishnah had used the expression menuda shei tiruhu chachamim, then fine. It would mean that a menuda, the chachamim made a heter, the chachamim made an exception to the usual rules of nidui and said that on Chol HaMoed he's allowed to do these things. But instead, the expression is shei tiruhu chachamim katani. The expression in the Mishnah is that the chachamim were matir him. So we're not talking about a general thing. We're talking about a specific case over here that he was in nidui and now the chachamim were matir that nidui. Namely, the Ozel Paisi the Baldine, he went and appeased his Baldin. Why was he put in nidui in the first place? Perhaps just because, for example, Beis Din had told him, you have to pay or you have to do whatever, and he refused, so therefore they put him in nidui for that. So now, during Chol HaMoed, he went and found his Baldin and appeased him and paid him or did whatever it is he needed to in order to. In order to take away the guy's claim against him. And then and then he came to the Chachamim and they were matir his nidui. So it doesn't mean that, says Rava, that the Chachamim were matir for all menudim to do these things during Chol HaMoed. It means this particular menuda who, during Chol HaMoed, the Chachamim took away his nidui because he finally listened to what Beis Din told him to do. So now, because before Chol HaMoed, he wasn't allowed to cut his hair and he wasn't allowed to wash his clothes. So now, during Chol HaMoed, we're going to allow him to do that because he's not in nidui anymore. That doesn't show that a regular menuda is not allowed to do these things. That doesn't show whether a regular menuda is who's still in nidui is allowed to do these things during Chol HaMoed or not. Okay, so what is it in the end? Have we proved that a menuda does need to keep the dinim of nidui during Chol HaMoed or not? So the Gemara has, the Gemara doesn't really make it so clear whether it's resolved that or not. So most of the paskin that you can't, that a menuda does have to continue doing his nidui during Chol HaMoed, that it seems the Gemara has shown with Rava's answer that only when they were actually matter him, then he can, implying that up until that point, even during Chol HaMoed, he wouldn't be allowed to. On the other hand, Tosfos learns that maybe not. Maybe Abaya still sticks to his way of learning things. That he doesn't accept Rava's chiluk, Rava's note of what the difference between Shetiruhu and Shetiruloi. And therefore, so maybe Tosfos says maybe it is possible that at least Abaya would hold that a menuda does not have to follow the dinim of nidui during the regal. But again, most of the Rishonim hold that he does. Okay, next. Mitzora Marusha Yanag Tzaraita Beregel. Now let's ask about a Mitzora. In some ways, a Mitzora is like an oval and like a menuda, as we're going to go through the sugya now and see. So does a Mitzora have to keep his dinim of Tzaras during Yom Tov? Now, we learned in the first Perek that you don't. We had a machloikus over there whether the kohen can even look at his tzaras during Chol HaMoed. We said Reb Meir had said they could lahokel but not lahachmir, and Reb Yossi said not lahokel and not lahachmir. But now let's say the guy is already a mitzora, and now comes Chol HaMoed. Does he have to continue doing the rules that we're going to say? For example, that he has to let his hair grow long and not allowed to wash his clothes and so forth. Does he have to follow and various other? He has to keep his head wrapped up, like cover his face. All those things, would those things apply during Chol HaMoed? So Amar Abaye Toshma. Our Mishnah said, "V'hanozir v'hametzora matumosir ta'arosay." Our Mishnah had said that who's allowed to cut his hair and do his laundry during Chol HaMoed? A nozir or metzora who's going from tara to tuma, implying hobby may tumosay nohim, implying that the metzora is not allowed to do these things while he's still in his days of tuma. So in other words, if the part of the process of a mitzvah is that after the kohen declares him tahor, then he has to he shaves all his hair. He waits, so he shaves all his hair and goes to the mikveh. Then he waits a week. He shaves all his hair again, and then on the next day he brings his korbanos. So let's say that second shaving comes out during Chol HaMoed, then he'd be allowed to do that. But the implication is that anything before that, up until that point, he's tamei, so he's not allowed to shave. It sounds like. The Gemara says not necessarily because loy miboya farmer, because the Mishnah could be saying one of those needless to say things. Loy miboya b'me tumase d'loy nohig. Needless to say that if he's still tamei, he's allowed to cut his hair during Chol HaMoed because then he's not even doing it in connection with bringing his korbanos. So therefore, there's no reason to not allow him to shave. We would say that the simcha of Yom Tov suspends the rules of him having to be a mitzvah. So fine, he's still tamei, obviously, but you would still say that the rules that he has to do as a mitzvah in mourning for the fact that he's a mitzvah, those are suspended for Yom Tov. But the Mishnah maybe is implying avol taharosay. When it comes to him becoming tahor, you would think nigzer shema yasha kavanosav. Maybe we should make a zera and not allow him to shave during Chol HaMoed because he might delay his korbanos. Kamash malan. Therefore, the Mishnah is telling us that not. So not necessarily is the Mishnah taking a view one way or the other on whether he's allowed to cut his hair during Chol HaMoed. We don't know yet from the Mishnah. Now, what do we mean shema yasha kavanosav? Rashi explains what might happen is that if once he shaves, he has to bring his korbanos. So what if he waits with bringing this korbanos until the last day of Yom Tov? So let's say he shaved during one of the days of Chol HaMoed. Now, let's say, for example, the day that he shaved during one of the days of Chol HaMoed. Now, instead of bringing his korbanos the next day, which is also a day of Chol HaMoed, let's say he waits until the last day of Yom Tov and brings them. So maybe we should have to make a gzeira to make sure he doesn't do that. Now the Tosfos Rid asks on that, what kind of a concern is that? If he brings his korbanos on Yom Tov, the kohenim are going to tell them zaymich gezunt, come back tomorrow. You can't bring such korbanos on Yom Tov. You can only the only korbanos you can bring on Yom Tov are ones that have to do with the Yom Tov, like korban chagiga, which we'll learn about in the next Masechta Be'ez Hashem. So the Tosfos read answers, and actually Rashi Ksav Yad gives the same explanation, that what the Gemara means, Shema Yasha Kobanosev, means if we allow him to shave during Chol HaMoed, then he may figure, you know what, then why should I bother schlepping to Yerushalayim twice? Let me wait until Yom Tov, and I'll do my shaving and my Kobanos then during Chol HaMoed, since anyway I'm allowed to do my shaving of Tara during Chol HaMoed, and then he's going to end up being Tomei for a longer amount of time. You would think we make such a Gzera, and therefore the Mishnah says you don't have to worry about that. Okay, so far no proof one way or the other for Mishnah, but Omar Rava Toshma, here's a proof. A Braisa says, when the Pasuk says, Vahatsurua, and the one who has tzaras, the Pasuk says, has to let his hair grow long and cover his face, and so on and so forth. So the word Vahatsurua, the Rabbis Kohen Gadol, comes to include that a Kohen Gadol who has tzaras has to follow these rules as well. Now let's consider, says Rava. A Kohen Gadol's situation during the rest of the year is like the situation of other people during Chol HaMoed. Namely, just like we said before, that Avelos doesn't apply during Chol HaMoed, that Chol HaMoed cancels Avelos, or at least suspends it until that, let's say, a person's relative passed away during Yom Tov or during Chol HaMoed, then he doesn't start actually following the dinim of Avelos, of Aninus and Avelos, until after Yom Tov. A Kohen Gadol is like that all the time. Ditnan, as in fact we learn in a mission, a Kohen Gadol makriv oinu and veinu oichel, that a Kohen Gadol, unlike a regular Kohen, is allowed to bring korbanos during the time when he's an oinin. So if a relative of his passed away, he's still a regular Kohen, would have to stop doing the avodah at that point until after the relative is buried. A Kohen Gadol is allowed to continue doing the avodah even while he's an oinin. But in oichel, the only thing is he's not allowed to eat from the korbanos at that time. So you see, in other words, that the fact that he's Kohen Gadol overrides the usual rules of Aninus for him. So Rashi adds also the detail we're going to talk about later on, that when a person is an Oinin, he's also not only if he's a Kohen, he can't do the Avodah, but even if he's a Yisrael, he can't send a Korban to be brought on his behalf during the time that he's an Oinin, whereas a Kohen Gadol could. So therefore, we see that the entire year, in effect, is like a Yom Tov for the Kohen Gadol. And still, we're saying that saras applies to him. Well then, so shmamina noyv tzarat beregel. So that shows, just as a Kohen Gadol has to follow the rules of tzaras throughout the year, so a regular person has to follow the rules of tzaras even during Chol HaMoed. So even during Chol HaMoed, he would have to keep the various restrictions of a mitzvah in terms of, as we're going to say, not cutting his hair, not washing his clothes, keeping his face covered, and so on and so forth. All the things that we're going to go through in the upcoming sugya now, the various things that we're going to say that a mitzvah is not allowed to do. So shmamina, that proves it. Next, let's go through all the things that an oval is not allowed to do and see which ones apply to a menuda and which ones apply to a mitzvah. So number one, oval also b'tispoiris. We know that an oval is not allowed to cut his hair. How do we know that? Because Hashem tells Aaron's surviving sons, Elazar and Isamar, after Nadav and Avihu passed away, he tells them, Roshechem al tifro, don't allow your hair to grow long. So because you're doing the avodah in the Bais Mikdash, in other words, in effect, they're temporarily considered like Kohenim Gedolim for that purpose. But the implication is Mekal B'Kulay Amasa, implying that other people are not allowed to cut their hair during the time of their avodas. So now the question is, Menudin u'mitzorayin mayin b'tisporis. What about a person in Nidui, or what about a mitzora? Are they allowed to cut their hair? Now, Rashi and Tosfos both point out, the Pasuk says about a Metzora, Rosha Yia Porua, and doesn't Porua mean growing the hair long? So Rashi and Tosfos both point out that no, there are other possibilities. What Porua means, as we're going to go later on, that it may mean, for example, that he's not allowed to cover his hair, he's not allowed to put on a hat. So not necessarily does it show that it means he has to grow his hair long. So we're going to need a different source for it. With that said, some of the Rishonim say that maybe the question is primarily on the Menudin, the Gemara just mentioned Mitzaroyin, because a Shigra Galishna, like once we're mentioning one, we automatically mention the other. Okay. And the answer is Toshma. We learn in a Braisa, Minyudin Mitzarayin, Asurin L'Sapo L'Chavis. A person in Nidui and a person in a state of Tzaras is not allowed to cut his hair, not allowed to wash his clothes. So there you go. So all three, and Ovol, Minyudin, and Mitzarayin are all also in both those things. Also, by the way, the Braisa continues. Minuda shemes. Suppose a person is in nidui and he passes away without having had a chance to go to the, without the chachamim coming, or without him going to the chachamim to be matur the nidui. So that shows that he treated it casually. What do you mean? You, as soon as the person is put in nidui, that should give him a treso, which, you know, I'm in nidui, I better go and fix up the situation as soon as possible. Go and appease my baal din, like we said before, or do whatever it is that the chachamim are telling me to do so I can get out of nidui. So like this, when he doesn't and he ends up passing away in a state of nidui, based in soklinus aroino, based in stones, his coffin, when they take him to bury him. So what does that mean, stones? Rabbi Yehuda Omer lo she'yamidu olav galavonim k'galei shelochan. We don't mean that they have to put a heap of stones on top of him, on top of his aron, or on top of his grave, like what they put on top of Ochon. Ochon was the guy in Sefer Yoshua who took from the spoils of Yericho when he wasn't supposed to, and it caused a disaster. The next time the Jewish people went to war, they were defeated. And it's a whole long story over there. Akitzer, they caught him, they gave him skila, and the pasuk says, "Vayakimu olav galavonim gadol." They put a big pile of stones over where he was killed to mark the spot. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying, when we say soklinus aroinoi for a person who passed away in nidui, we don't mean that they have to put a gigantic pile of stones on his grave. Ella based in shurkon manichin even gdola al aroinoi. All it means is that basement sends messengers and they put a large stone on his coffin. So that way, when they're taking him for his levaya, everybody can see that there's a big stone on there. Lalamdecha, and this teaches you, should call him a snadav a mes b'nidui, that a person was put in nidui and passed away still in nidui, not having made an effort to get it to get it taken away. Based in soklin, as I don't know, so that based in does just that. They put a stone on top of his coffin. There's a Mishnah in Adius that says that the Tanakama says over there that they did that to Akavya ben Mahalalo. The Mishnah tells over there that there were three things that Akavya ben Mahalalel, three halachas that he had disagreed on with the other Chachamim, and in connection with one of them, he spoke in a way which the Chachamim considered to be disrespectful to Shmaya and Avtalion. So therefore, the Mishnah says over there that they put him in nidui and they put a stone on his coffin afterwards. Although in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda continues over there and he says Chas v'Shalom, it wasn't Akavya ben Mahalalel, it was another person in that time who had talked disrespectfully about a takana of the Chachamim. Whatever the case, they both agree with this idea that you put a stone on the coffin of somebody who passed away in nidui. All right, next thing, next restriction of an oval. Oval chayev ba'atifas harosh. An oval has to wrap his head, meaning he has to keep his face covered. Nowadays we don't do that actually, because Tosfos points out later on in the Masechta, when we get more in detail into the dinim of avelos, Tosfos points out there are going to be a couple of things that we say over here in our Gemara that an oval is supposed to do, which we don't do. In the case of Atifas Arosh, the reason is because we live among the Goyim. We even sometimes have Goyish servants and whatnot, and they see a person sitting over there with Atifas Arosh wrapped up like a Atifas Eishma'elim, like the way you wrap your face, like the way you wrap your face in the talus when you put it on at first. Then they're going to make a lot of fun of us. They may even think that we're doing kishur or something. So therefore, the minhag over time disappeared in most countries. I've read that the Taimonim still do it, but other than that, most Jewish communities stop doing atifas arosh. What they do is, it says in Shulchan Aruch, what the oval should maybe do is he wears his hat with the brim a little further down in front of his face than it normally would. So that's symbolically atifas arosh. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara, so oval chayev atifas arosh. This we know based on something that Hashem tells Yechezkel. Now, we're going to be quoting these sukkim from Yechezkel over and over in the sugya, so let's give a little background. Hashem tells Yechezkel that here's what's going to happen. There's a bunch of things you find in the sukkim in Yechezkel, a bunch of things that Hashem told Yechezkel to do, various symbolic actions in order to show the Jewish people what's going to happen as a result of their averus. If they don't do tshuva, there's going to be a churban and there's going to be a golus. Already Yechezkel and was in Babel. He was part of the first wave of golus 11 years before the churban. So now he's warning them that things are going to be up soon if you don't do tshuva. So one of these things, Hashem tells him, your wife is going to pass away suddenly. What you're going to do is you're going to act different than most Avelim do. And Hashem gives him a long list of things that he's supposed to do and not supposed to do. We're going to go through them in the sugya over here. So the idea is, in other words, he's doing many things differently than a regular Ovel does. So then people are going to come and ask him, why? Your wife passed away. Why aren't you doing the usual rules of Avelos? And Hashem tells him, explain to them that this is symbolizing the fact that when the Churban happens, people are not going to be doing the usual manifestations of Avelos, because what's one purpose of doing them is an Ovel is sitting Shiva over there, and everybody comes to be Menachem Ovel him. Everybody sees the guy, the poor guy, is sitting over there on a low chair and wearing ripped clothes and not and so on and so forth, and they come to be Menachem Ovel. So Hashem says, tell the people when the Churban happens, nobody's going to be doing that because everybody's sharing in the same Sarah. So it's like, who's available? Who's going to be available to be Menachem you? All the Jewish people are going to be sharing in that same Sarah. And therefore, that should show them vividly what's going to happen when there's a Churban if they don't wake up and do tshuva. So now, Hashem tells Yechezkel, one of the things Hashem tells Yechezkel, you're going to do differently than everybody else. V'loy sata al safam. Hashem tells him, you're not going to wrap your talus or whatever, your headgear over your lips. Miklal, de kolalma, mechayvi, implying that most people that everybody else who's an oval is chayev to do that. So they would take the bottom edge of their talus or whatever outer wrap they wore and cover the bottom part of their face and cover their mouth with it. That's atifas arush. So therefore, we see that an oval has to do that. Now the question is again, menuda ma'u batifas arush. So a menuda, given that we said so far some of the rules of a menuda are like an oval, does this one apply to him as well? Amar Rabbi Yosef Toshma, we can bring a proof from a Mishnah in Tainis. The Mishnah describes over there, we learned it in the last couple of months, about the you have the various fasts that they do when there's no rain. So they have three fasts and then another three fasts if necessary, and then if necessary, another seven fasts. And we said, what happens if after all those fasts, there's no rain yet? So we said, the Braisa said over there, Vehein Misakfin V'Yoshvin, the people would wrap themselves up, would wrap up their heads like an oval does. The Yoshvin Kiminudin V'Chavelin, and they're sitting there like people who are in Nidui and like people who are in Avelus, Ad Yiruchum Aleim in Hashemayim, until Hashem has Rachmanos on them and sends rain. So you see from the fact that it describes Kiminudin means that a Menuda has to also do the Satif HaSarosh. Amalei Abaya, but Abaya says that's not a proof. Maybe a person who is in Nidui to Hashem is different. Maybe that's more chumrati. Maybe you would say a person who was put in Nidui by a based in here on earth. So he maybe were more lenient on him since after all it was a based in on earth who did it. But maybe a based in Shemayim put him in Nidui, which in effect was saying because they fasted all these fasts and davened all these tefillos and Hashem didn't answer them, therefore that shows like Hashem is angry, therefore it shows Hashem is angry at them. So maybe therefore now they have to act in a stricter way than a regular menuda would have to. So there's no proof one way or the other, really. Tosfos on Amud Beis points out that you have the story in Bava Metzia involving Tanu Shalachnoi, where they ended up putting Rebbe Eliezer in Nidui because he didn't want to follow the other Chacham's opinion because he still maintained his opinion, even though Achrei Rabban Lahatos. So it's a whole long story over there. Anyway, so it says they put him in Nidui, and it says over there that Rebbe Eliezer, took off his shoes, which is also something that we're going to discuss later on in the Sugya. And among other things, it says he wrapped up his head. So Tosfos answers that with a couple of these things, where the Gemara leaves it unsolved whether a Menuda has to do it. First of all, maybe Rebbe Eliezer was machmir on himself, and second of all, maybe he had the same suffix that we have here in the Gemara. Next, menuda mahu betfilin. Is a person in Nidui allowed to put on tefillin? I skipped a couple of lines. Ovo also lahaniach tefillin. The next thing is, an ovo is not allowed to put on tefillin. Now, we're going to talk about later in the peret that primarily this means on the first day of the Avelos. So what happens is, the way that we work it nowadays, the person becomes an ovo, Rachman al-Klan, on the day of the mista itself. He doesn't put on tefillin because he's an oinen. And then on the first day, he doesn't put on tefillin. On the second day already, he starts putting on tefillin again, and then continues to do so throughout the rest of the Shiva. But at least there's some part of the Avelos where you don't put on tefillin. This is, by the way, also a similar thing, why we don't put on tefillin, Shachris, on Tisha B'Av, only Mincha. Anyway, how do we know that? Again, one of these psukim from Yechezkel. Again, in that situation where Hashem tells Yechezkel about his wife passing away, he tells him that you should wear your pe'er, your glory, which means your tefillin, chavoy shalacha, put on your head. So therefore, again, mikvah the kolam also implying that everybody else also to do that during their avelos. So now, menuda mal with tefillin. What about is a menuda allowed to put on tefillin? And the answer is teku. We're not sure. Which, in fact, there is a machlokas aposkim. What the din would be about that? The mechaber seems to say that he should not. The shach says that he should. Okay. A mitzora mal with tefillin. What about is a mitzora allowed to put on tefillin? So toshma. Let's bring a proof. The braisa that we quoted at the beginning of before on Yudal Amud Beis started v'hatzarua l'rabbis kohen gadol. We said the posuk says v'hatzarua and the one who has tzaras. So that comes to include that the rules of tzaras apply to a kohen gadol as well. And the posuk continues begodav yu frumim. His clothes should be ripped. And what does frumim means? Shiyu mekoroim. He has to be wearing ripped clothes just like an oval. And the posuk continues v'roisha yia farua. His hair has to be porua. Now, what does porua mean? Ein priya el gidol seir divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer says the word priya means that his hair has to grow long. So we said before that he's not allowed to cut his hair. So Rabbi Eliezer says this is where we get it from. Because it says v'roshe yia porua. But Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says not necessarily. Nemra havaya v'roshe nemra havaya v'beged. Because the pasuk says, but the god of yiu frumim, verosha yiya farua. So therefore, so the yiya means that there's a certain similarity between what he has to do with his clothing and what he has to do with his hair. Mahavaya hamura bebeged. Now, when we're saying that he has to do something with his clothes, rip them, well, his clothes are not part of his body. Dover shechutz migufay. His clothes obviously are not part of his body. Ahavaya berosh dover shechutz migufay. Therefore, says Rabbi Akiva, when it says Rosha Yia Farua, it can't be like you, Rabbi Eliezer, are saying that it means that he has to grow his hair long, because then it wouldn't be similar to the Yia of clothing. Yia of clothing is something that's outside his body that he has to do with, namely rip it. So therefore, Rosha Yia Farua implies something that's outside his body that he's not allowed to put on his head. So what do we mean? My lab atfilin. So wouldn't that apply to, what? Wouldn't that mean that Rabbi Akiva is saying that he doesn't put on tefillin, because that's something that he would normally put on his head, and now we're saying that not? And the answer is, Amar Papa, not necessarily, loy, akumta v'sudra, it may mean that he's not allowed to put, he has to leave his head uncovered. He's not allowed to put on a kumta, which is a hat, or a sudra, which is a turban, but maybe indeed a mitzvah is allowed to put on tefillin. So again, the Gemara doesn't resolve the question. According to Rabbi Eliezer, there's certainly no question that he does wear tefillin. There's no reason why not. According to Rabbi Akiva, we can't be sure. We can't be sure about it. But this is why, when we said before about we asked whether a mitzvah has to grow his hair long, and we had to bring from a braisa. That's why Rashi and Tosfos both say that's why we can't learn from here, from the word Verosha Yia Farua, because we're saying Rabbi Akiva holds that Priyas HaRosh means something else. It doesn't mean growing hair long, it means not wearing something on his head, which maybe that's something that's tefillin, maybe it's a hat. Next. Oval also b'she'elas sholem. An oval is not allowed to greet people. Which is why we have when a person is sitting shiva that he doesn't ask people how are you, and people don't ask him how are you, and so forth. So why? Again, this we learn from another of those psukim in connection with Yechezkel, where Hashem tells him, Hey onek doim. Hey onek means moan. In other words, you're sad because your wife passed away. So for that, you can be moaning in private. But doim, be quiet. So in other words, be quiet. Don't be doing she'elas shalom. Also the Gemara is going to explain soon that it also means from learning Torah. Tosfos points out, by the way, that, so what are we saying? Some things we're saying that Yechezkel did them, therefore it means Davka and Ovel shouldn't do them. Some things we're saying like this, that Yechezkel does them and a regular Ovel does them as well. So what's the difference? So Tosfos says, okay, what it means is because Yechezkel, because Hashem is telling Yechezkel to demonstrate to the Jewish people what things are going to be like after the Churban, when nobody's going to be doing many of the dinim of Avelos, because again, everybody's in mourning and there's nobody to comfort them. So therefore, he only has to change some of the things that an Ovel does, not all of them. There's a Tosfos elsewhere that explains that when Hashem tells him to do something, then we understand that's something that he should do. For example, putting on his tefillin, or wrapping up, putting on his tefillin, for example, when Hashem tells him to do something, for example, put on tefillin, then it means that he should, then it means that other Avelim don't usually do that. But when Hashem tells him to avoid doing something, for example, here, when Hashem tells him, avoid talking, don't be quiet, then we understand that that applies the same thing to other Avelim as well. So an Avel is also b'she'el astralim. Menuda ma'o b'she'el astralim. What about a person is a nidui? Is he allowed to greet other people? Amar Rabbi Yosef Toshma. So let's prove from the same case that we had in the case where they had all the fasts for rain and Hashem didn't answer them yet with rain. And the Mishnah says over there that among the things they're not allowed to do at that point is of She'elas Shalom Shabbat Machaber. One person is not allowed to greet another person, Kivnei Adam and Nezufin Lamotim, like people who are rebuked and rejected by Hashem. So again, Nezufin is another word for Nidui. So it would mean, in other words, a person in Nidui is not allowed to do She'elas Shalom. But again, Omalei Abaya says that's not a proof, because just like we said before, Duma Menuda L'Shamayim Shinei D'Chomer, again, maybe when a person is in Nidui by Hashem, then it's stricter, and therefore we would say She'el HaShalom is also. That doesn't necessarily prove that a regular Menuda would be also to do that. Metzoda Ma'u B'She'el HaShalom. Next, what about is a Metzoda allowed to greet other people? Now, okay, he has to stay outside the city, he has to be by himself, but if people pass by, let's say, then is he allowed to say Shalom Aleichem today? So Toshma, Ba'al Sofam Yatze, let's prove from the Braisa that says, when the Pasuk says that he should cover his lips, that means Shiyur Sifsosim Medubakas Zu Vizu, it means that his lips should be attached one to another. In other words, he shouldn't be opening his mouth to greet people. Shiheikim Nudavachavol. So therefore, he should act like a person who's in Nidui and like an Ovel, but also B'She'el HaShalom. So therefore, he's also to greet people. Shmamina. So okay, that proves that an Ovel is also to do She'el HaShalom. Tosfos points out that before we learned from Ba'al Sofam Yata that he has to keep his mouth covered with the bottom, with the edge of his talus or something. But now Tosfos says, first of all, maybe both things are implied. Okay, he has to cover his mouth and he has to keep his mouth closed and not talk to people. And also, since the Pasuk doesn't say Ba'al Sofba Yata, it says Ba'al Sofam, then therefore maybe we can douse in both things from it. So whatever the case, we see that a Metzoda is not allowed to greet people. Now, since we said Shiyahekim Menuda B'chavol, so the Gemara says Benifshit Minola Menuda, nu, so don't we have our answer as far as the Menuda? We left the question open whether a Menuda is allowed to greet people, because we had, on the one hand, Rabbi Yosef brought a proof from the Mishnah and Tainus that they can't, but on the other hand, Abaya said maybe it's different when he's Menuda L'Shamayim, but now the Braisa is clearly telling us that a Metzoda is not allowed to She'el HaShalom, and he's like a Menuda, so that would answer the question that a Menuda can't. The answer is that's not a proof. Amr of Acha ba Pinchas Mishmei de Rabbi Yosef Mi Katoni Sha'osur Shiyehei Kemenuda V'chol Mi Katoni Sha'osur. Why? The Braisa doesn't say that he's osur to do these things like a Menuda. All it says is Shiyehei Kemenuda V'chol Katoni. It says a Metzora has to be like a Menuda and an Oval. Not necessarily does it mean as far as this particular thing. It means Mimiliach Renaisa. It means there are various other things, like some of the ones we said before, for example, cutting his hair and washing his clothes and so forth. There are things where he's not allowed to do, just like an Ovel and just like a Metzora. But by the way, he's also in She'el HaShalom, even though maybe a Menuda is allowed to. So there's still no proof from that Braisa, one way or the other, whether a Menuda is allowed She'el HaShalom or not. In general, with most of these things in the Gemara that it leaves the question open, most of them the Poskim Paskin Lakula, given that after all these are dinim dirabbanan, and then in dirabbanan usually when we have a suffix, we're makel. Next, Ovel also bedive Torah. An Ovel is not allowed to learn Torah during the time of his Avelus. Now, when we say it now, we have, as we know, the din is with an Ovel, and similarly on Tisha B'Av, that it means not that he can't learn Torah at all, it means that he can't learn certain parts of Torah. In particular, though, he can. You have a whole discussion among. You have a whole discussion based on other Gemaras, including we learned at the end of Tainus and in other places, what exactly a person is allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av, and therefore, and also what a person is allowed to learn in Avelos. Basically, he's allowed to learn the sad parts of Torah. For example, the unfavorable Nevuos in Yirmiyah, and Megillas Eicha, and Dinim of Avelos, and other such things. But other than that, otherwise, we say that usually Torah is Mesameach et Halev, and therefore he's not allowed to. So how do we know that? Again, one of the psukim from Yechezkel, Midikamer, Achmon on Yechezkel, Doim, because Hashem says to Yechezkel the word Doim, which means be quiet. So we said the word Doim means don't do She'elas Shalom, don't be greeting people, but it also means be quiet from learning Torah. So menuda mahu b'divrei Torah. Next, the person is in nidui. Is he allowed to learn Torah during the time that he's in nidui? Amar Rabbi Yosef Toshma. So Rabbi Yosef says we can bring a proof from a braisa. The braisa says menuda shonen v'shonen loy. A person who's in nidui, he's allowed to teach other people Torah, and other people are allowed to teach him Torah. Now they would have to sit more than four amos away from him because he's in nidui. But nevertheless, they're still allowed to hear him teaching Torah, and for him to learn Torah, and for him to learn from other people. Niska v'niskarim loy, he's allowed to hire himself out for a job, and other people can hire themselves out to him. So in other words, this is nidui. Now there's three levels we're going to talk about later. We're going to talk about tomorrow in the Gemara. There's different levels of that a person can be in. Nidui is the least severe of them. Then you have the person doesn't. The next stage after nidui is called cherem, and the most severe of all is called shamta. So we'll go through the Gemara in the next couple of days, talking about the difference between those three and how each one is more serious than the previous one. But nidui being the most lenient out of all of them, so he's still allowed to have business relationships with people. He can do work for them. They can do work for him. Again, they have to stay four amas away. On the other hand, muhram, on the other hand, when he's in the next stage of cherem, loy shoneh v'loy shonin loy, he cannot learn Torah. He cannot teach Torah to others, and others can't teach Torah to him. Loy nisko v'loy niskarin loy, he's not allowed to work for others when he's in cherem, and others are not allowed to work for him. Rashi explains that what would happen is, suppose they put him in nidui, and he remained in nidui for 30 days and didn't bother going to Beis Din to try and to ask Mechila and to accept on himself that he's going to do what Beis Din wants. So after 30 days, they put him in cherem. Hagos Ma'arav Ransburg actually says that it's not actually after 30 days, it's after 60 days. We'll talk about that in the Gemara tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Anyway, so when he's in cherem, he's not allowed to teach Torah to other people, or learn Torah from other people. He's not allowed to work for other people, and they're not allowed to work for him. But he's allowed to learn Torah for himself in private. You don't want him to interrupt his learning and forget his learning, so therefore he's allowed to learn in private. But also, will allow him, even when he's in a cherem, he can make himself a small store to sell something in order to be able to make a living. But Omar Rav, so Rav said, what kind of thing can he sell? Zabuni Maya Bapaksa da Arovas. He could be selling water in the Valley of Arovas. So what's the point of that? There's a couple of different explanations. The Valley of Arovas, we find in some other places in Shas, was a fairly dry area. It was also a place where not many people traveled. So one way of looking at it means that we're going to tell him you can't be in the city selling. You want to go and sell. You want to be able to earn a living. You're going to have to go to some place like this Valley of Arovas, where next to nobody is there, and you can sell water over there to passersby. The other explanation is almost the other way around, because any traveler through Paksad Arovas, because it's a dry area, is going to need to buy water. So we're going to tell this muhram, you're even allowed to set up a store over there and sell water, even though you're going to have a lot of customers. That we're going to allow you to do because for your parnasa. Anyway, the point is that shmamina, so that proves, we said in the braisa that a menuda, shoneh v'shonen loy, he can teach other people Torah, they can learn Torah from him. So there you go, a menuda is allowed to learn Torah. In that sense, he's not like an oval. Next, Mitzoda Mahu would give a Torah. What about a Mitzoda during the time of its Tzaraas? Is he allowed to learn Torah? Toshma. So that we can prove from a Braisa. The positive says, you should inform your children and your grandchildren about the about Matan Torah. And what are you informing them? But you have to teach your children and your grandchildren Torah. And remember the day that you stood before Hashem in at Chorev, at Har Sinai. So we learn, just like when they first received the Torah on Har Sinai, they were in awe and in fear and in trembling and in moving, as the pasuk says, the people were afraid and they trembled and they ran far away. So by Matan Torah, they had that. The same way, in future generations, when you're learning Torah, also has to be in a sense of the aim of Yira Vareses of Aziyah. Mikan Amru, based on this, the Chachamim said, Hazavin v'amitzorayun boile nidus, a zav or a mitzora, or a man who's had relations with a nida, where then he becomes tamei, mostly to the same extent as a nida does. Mutarin likras patoto v'neviim v'ksuvim, they would be allowed during the time when they're tamei to be learning Torah neviim v'ksuvim, because, in other words, they can still have ema yira reses zia. Tosfos explains, okay, the boil nida would have to go to the mikveh because of his keri, because as we're going to talk about in a second, that a bal keri, there was the takana of Ezra, that a bal keri is not allowed to learn Torah. In later times, the Gemara tells us in Brachas, they took away that takana because roi batzibu were not yecholim lamed, but most people were not able to hack that, to be able to, that every time they have relations or every time they become a bal keri, they're going to have to go to the mikveh, and without that, they can't daven or learn Torah. That it wasn't a gzeder that most of the tzibur was able to handle, and therefore eventually the chachamim canceled it. But anyway, so a boil midah, fine, he would have to go to the mikveh because of his keri. But other than that, the fact that for a week he's tomei, that doesn't prevent him from learning Torah, because during that time he can still have ema yira v'resus v'ziyah. Or the volitioners for medrash of Rashas, such a person who's tomei is allowed to learn Mishnaya, is allowed to learn midrashim and gemara, the halachas of our goddess. He's allowed to learn halacha and agada, uvale kroy and asurin. Only a bal keri is also, because how does a person become a bal keri? He had a certain simcha, he had a certain kalos rosh, a certain lightheadedness, that when he was excited and became a bal keri, whether it was with his wife, without his wife, whatever, the point is that does not fit with Ema Yira Vresis of Aziyah. So therefore, that was the basis why Ezra made the takana of why a Balkeri is not allowed to learn Torah until he toifels. But anyway, so Shmamina, so that proves that a Mitzora is allowed to learn Torah because the Braisa says so clearly. Okay. Next. Oval also b'tichbosis. What's the next thing an Oval is not allowed to do? He's not allowed to wash his clothes. Where do we know that from? So now we have another story in Tanakh that bears on this. You have the story in Shmuel Beis. It tells the story how Avshalom killed his brother Amnon because Amnon had raped his sister Tamar. That's a whole long story in itself. Whatever. Anyway, the point is Avshalom had killed his brother Amnon. So then he ran away. He's living outside of Eretz Yisrael for a couple of years. So on the one hand, David feels bad and he wants Avshalom back. Avshalom is his son after all. On the other hand, he still doesn't want to, maybe he doesn't want to invite him to come back, because by that it would seem like he's condoning what Avshalom did. So Yoav decides to convince David by means of a play act. So the pasuk starts off, it says, by Yishlach Yoav to Koya, Yoav sent a messenger to the city of Tekoya, by Yikach Misham Isha Chachama, he brought a smart lady from there. Why Tekoya? In fact, the Gemara says elsewhere, because Tekoya was an area where they grew a lot of olives and made a lot of olive oil, and we find that olive oil, that regular use of olive oil helps make a person smart, so therefore Yoav knew that he could find smart people in Tekoya. So he brought from there a wise woman. By Yomer Ela, he tells her, he's Ablina, pretend like you're an oval, the Livshina Bigde Evel, wear clothes of an oval, which means clothes that weren't washed. The Alta Suchi Shemen, don't anoint yourself with oil, which people usually smear oil on their skin as sunscreen and to keep their skin soft and so forth. So don't do that. Vahayis Kiisha, Zeyam Ram, Sabella Salmes, pretend like you're a woman who for a long time has been mourning over a dead relative. And then he goes on to tell her that she's going to go to David, and she's going to tell him a whole story involving that she's an almana, one of her sons killed the other, and now the relatives want to kill her other son, and so on and so forth. And through that, David will come to realize that this is the same situation. Yes, Amnon was killed, but look, there's no bringing him back alive, so don't be angry at Absalom forever. Realize that if he continues living there among the Goyim, eventually he's going to assimilate among the Goyim and bring him back to Eretz Yisrael. There's a whole long story over there, but the point is that we're focusing on that first pasuk where Yoav tells her that since she has to pretend to be an oval, so therefore she has to do these various things. And we see one of the things he mentions is that she should wear a big day oval, meaning that she shouldn't wash her clothes. Okay. What about a person in Nidui and a person in a Mitzora? Are they allowed to wash their clothes during that time? Tashma. So we have a braisa that we quoted at the top of the Amud. They're not allowed to cut their hair. They're not allowed to wash their clothes. Shmamina. So good. That proves it. Now, our Mishnah had said, of course, that during Chol Hamoed, they're allowed to cut their hair and they're allowed to wash their clothes once their tzaras is over or once their nidui is over. That doesn't show necessarily that during their tzaras or during their nidui, they weren't allowed to, because it could be, in principle, they would have been allowed to, but practically speaking, a person in that kind of situation is not going to be doing it because he feels bad. But not necessarily would it have been actually usur, which is why we need the braisa to tell us clearly that it's usur. Okay, so good shmamina, that proves it. Next, ovo chayev bekriya, an ovo has to tear his clothes and continue wearing the torn clothes throughout shiva. We know that because Hashem tells Bnei Aaron, again, after Nadav and Avihu were killed, then Hashem tells Elazar and Isamar, he says, don't tear your clothes. Again, implying that most people in that situation would have to tear their clothes. Only they, because like we said, temporarily, they're considered on the level of Kohenim Gdolim, therefore they don't. So, Menuda Mal Bekriya, does a Menuda have to tear his clothes? And the answer is Teku, we're not sure. So this is one of those ones where Tosfos says we find that Rabbi Eliezer, when they put him in Nidui, he tore his clothes, but okay, maybe he was Machmer on himself, or maybe since the Gemara left it over, he was Teku, maybe Rabbi Eliezer had the same question, and therefore he tore his clothes to be on the safe side. Okay, Mitzoda Mal Bekriya, does a Mitzoda have to tear his clothes? Yeah, because the pasuk says begodav yiyuch ruman. The pasuk says his clothes should be torn, and that means shiyu mekaroi, and he has to keep his clothes torn. Shmamina, so that proves that a mitzora has to tear his clothes and continue wearing them torn as long as he's a mitzora mochlo. Next, ovo chayev bekviya samita. An ovo has to turn over his bed. We're going to talk about those dinim of turning over the bed in more detail later in the perek, but that's the gist of it. We talked about the other day how beds were made at the time of the Gemara, where they had a wooden frame and then they had ropes stretched over the frame and then they put the mattress on top of that. So the idea would be, in those days, you would turn over the bed and sleep on the side with the ropes, which is less comfortable. Nowadays, we don't do, this is another one of those things that Tosfos points out later, we don't do for a couple of reasons. One of them is, again, we live among the Goyim, and if they see us turning over their beds, they're going to think, who knows what, we're doing kishuf against them or something, and therefore Jews could be in danger because of that. The other reason, Tosfos says, anyway, our beds are not constructed the same as theirs were, with the ropes and with the frame made the same way, so if you turn over the bed, it's not really going to be noticeable that it's upside down, so therefore there's no need to do it. So why is an ovo chai b'kfiyas amita? So that we don't have a pasuk. That we have the Tony Bakapara. Bakapara Torah Braisa. That Hashem says, Dmus Yoichni Nasati Bahen. I put the image of the Kavyocho, my image, among the Jewish people, because the Tselem Alekim Asa Adam, a person is created in the image of Hashem. And because of their Averis, I turned it over and made that people have to pass away. Marshal. Also add, the word hafakhiya also includes that sometimes you have, that a person sometimes has to come, as neshama, has to come back as a gyugel in an animal, which is really turning things over. So therefore, Hashem says, it's only appropriate, kfumi kesehen aleha, so therefore it's only appropriate that you should be turning over your beds in recognition of that, that you turned over the way that I intended that things should work in the world. Hashem had intended that people would live forever, now that shouldn't be necessary, that misa shouldn't be necessary. So the whole concept that a person has to die, the whole concept, like Maharsha is saying, that a person has to come back as a yogel, sometimes in an animal, is all because of people's avedus, going back originally to the Chetei Tadas. So therefore, it's only appropriate that you should turn over your bed, representing how you turned over Hashem's plans for the world. So, menuda or metzorda mahin b'kfiyas hamita, does a menuda or metzorda have to turn over his bed? And again, the answer is teiku, we're not sure. We don't have a proof one way or the other. Now, why should they? On the face of it, by the ritva asks, on the face of it, this reason that we just said, doesn't really apply to them. Nobody's died. But still, the answer is, on the other hand, they're being treated differently than regular people in society. They have to stay away from everybody else, etc. So maybe there's an argument that you could say that, yeah, things have been turned over for them different than the way they would normally be. They'd normally be allowed to be around other people, and now they're not. Maybe they should have to do kfiyas hamita because of that, but the Gemara leaves it as tape. Next. Oval oser b'achsias malach. An oval during the time of his avelus, during Shiva, is not allowed to do malacha. We'll talk about the detail. All these things that we're mentioning over here, we're going to discuss the details of them more later in the parak about the exact parameters of these things. So an oval is not allowed to do malacha. We know that, yichtiv, because the pasuk says, v'hafachti chageichem la'evil. The Navi says to the Jewish people, I'm going to turn your yomim tovim into mourning, meaning when at the time of the Churban. So therefore, so what's the comparison? Ma chag also b'malacha, just like a yom tov, you're not allowed to do work, as we've been learning throughout the Masechta so far about Chol HaMoed, and we know, of course, yom tov, there's even more things that are osur. Af ovo, also b'malacha, the same way an ovo is not allowed to do malacha. Next, menuda ma'u b'asiyas malacha. Is a menuda allowed to do malacha? Amar Rabbi Yosef Toshma. So Rabbi Yosef says, we can prove from the Braisa that says, when the Chachamim said that you had the case over there where the people are in nidui by Hashem because they haven't had rain yet. So when it said loy omru el b'yom, that only applies by day that they're not allowed to do malacha. But by night they're allowed to do work. And you find the same dinim apply to the same dinim apply to a menuda and to an oval. So on the face of it, the comparison to a menuda and an oval applies to all of it, meaning therefore that a menuda would at least be allowed to do malacha by night and an oval as well. And the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Ashara, it may be referring to the other things that it mentions in the Braisa over there. For example, we said before that the people have to wrap themselves up, cover their heads, and they will cover their faces and sit there, kimenudin. So maybe it means like that. They have to be like menudin or like a velum in that sense. It doesn't necessarily show that just because they're allowed to do malacha by night doesn't necessarily mean that a regular menuda and a regular oval would be allowed to. Okay, so the Gemara says Toshma. Okay, we don't have a proof from that braisa, but we have a proof from a different braisa that we quoted on Amar Aleph. Menuda shoyne v'shoynemoy. A menuda is allowed to teach other people Torah and is allowed to learn from other people Torah. Niska v'niskarimoy. He can hire himself out to do work for other people, and other people can hire themselves out and do work for him. Shmamina. So that shows that a menuda is allowed to do malacha. What about mitzoda ma'obasir? Malacha. Is a mitzvah allowed to? And the answer is take. Next. Oval also brachitza. An oval is not allowed to bathe during the time of the Avelis, during Shiva. You have the same pasuk where Yoav is telling this Isha Chachama how to play act being an oval, and he tells her to actually act like an oval would, and he tells her don't anoint yourself with oil. Brachitza, b'chlal sicha, bathing is included in sicha. Because that was the way they did it. They would wash themselves with water, and then they would smear themselves with oil afterwards. So automatically, if he's telling her not to anoint herself, automatically that means don't wash yourself as well. So therefore, an oval is also to do that. Next, menuda ma'o b'rechitza. Is a menuda allowed to bathe? Amar Rabbi Yosef, Toshma. Again, let's prove from that braisa in in Tainis, we talked about the case where there hasn't been rain and the people are kiminudim lamakim, and it says she'omru also berechitza, when they said that the people in that situation are also to bathe, loy omru ela kol gufay, that only applies to their whole, that only applies to their whole body, av upon of yad v'ragla mutter, but they are allowed to wash their face, their hands, and their feet. And the Braisa finishes off the same, that you find the same thing by Menuda and by Novel. So again, my lava kulu. So on the face of it, the Kainat and Motzi of Menuda of Oval applies to all of them. So the bathing also, a Menuda would be also to bathe his entire body and would only be Mutter to wash his face, hands, and feet. And the answer is, why Ashara? Not necessarily. It may be referring to the other things. Now, there's a bunch of things that it says over there. For example, they're not allowed to wear leather shoes. They have to keep their faces covered. Now, we said before that maybe Malacha is mutter to him because maybe Ashara. So Tosva says, in other words, because we can't be sure. The Braisa just says, it doesn't specify where the comparison is to a Menuda and an Oval. So therefore, each time we find something where an Oval is not allowed to do it, maybe it means that Menuda is not allowed to do it either. Maybe not. Maybe it means that only there's other things that, maybe there's other things of the things that I mentioned in the Braisa there that are also. Unless we find a clear source someplace else that a Menuda is allowed or not allowed to do something, then every time we bring up one of these things, we can answer Loy Ashara that maybe it's the other ones that are mentioned that are also to a Menuda. So for example, based on what we're saying so far, it would mean an Oval is either not an Oval, a Menuda is either not allowed to do Malacha or is not allowed to bathe, but you wouldn't have a proof whether it's both of them or whether it's neither of them. Okay, so we can't be sure about that. What about Mitzurda Mahu Berechitza? Is a Mitzurda allowed to bathe? And the answer is Tekel. The next one, Oval also in the Ilas a sandal, and Oval is also to put on leather shoes. Now we're back to Yechezkel. Hashem tells Yechezkel, when your wife passes away, then you're going to wear leather shoes. McLeod, the Kalam, also implying that everybody else in that situation would not be allowed to wear leather shoes. Menuda ma'u bin ilach asandu. What about is a Menuda allowed to wear leather shoes? Again, Amar Rav Yosef Toshma, let's try to prove from that braisa about the people where rain didn't fall, where it says she'omru also bin ilas asandal, when the chachamim said that you also to wear leather shoes, loy omru ela ba'ir, that only applies where you're in the city and you're able to go with slippers or socks or barefoot or what have you, ava baderech mutter, but when you're traveling on the road and there you have to wear shoes because otherwise it's not safe, then mutter, then you're allowed to wear leather shoes. Ha'ketzad, so how do you do it? Yotza laderech noyol, when you leave on the trip, then you're allowed to put on leather shoes. Nichnas le'ir cholitz, and as soon as you come into the city, you have to take them off. And again, the braisa finishes off. The same thing applies to a menuda and to an oval. So again, my lava kuru, doesn't that mean that the braisa is applying to everything that it said? Therefore, that would show that a menuda is not allowed to wear shoes. And the answer is again is loy ashara. Not necessarily. It may mean that it refers to some of the other things that it mentions in the braisa. Again, like we said, each thing that we're mentioning, we may say the braisa doesn't mean that all these things apply to a menuda. It means that some of them apply, but we don't know which ones. Okay, mitzurda ma'u bin ilas asandal. Is a mitzurda allowed to wear leather shoes? And again, the answer is taken. Okay, another thing an oval is not allowed to do. Oval also b'tash m'shamitza. An oval during Shiva is not allowed to have relations with his wife. We know that. So you have a story with David and Melech. You have the whole story with David and Bathsheba. So they had a child together. Then the Navi Nosson comes and tells off David for the whole thing, for causing Uriah's death and marrying Bathsheba, and so on and so forth. He tells him, part of your punishment is that baby that was born to you and Bathsheba is going to pass away. So the pasuk describes how after the baby passed away, the pasuk says, Vayinachim, Vayinachem David es Bathsheba ishtoi. David comforted his wife Bathsheba by Yovei Eleha, and then he had relations with her, implying the cloud of Meikra also, implying that up until that point, it was also for them to have relations. So implying that you're not allowed to have relations during Shiva. An interesting point, actually, is that the Psukim say over there that David did not follow the rules of Avelos for this baby. What it says in the Psukim is, while the baby was very sick for a while, And while the baby was sick, then David was fasting and sitting on the ground and tearing his clothes and so forth and begging Hashem to allow the baby to live. But then after the baby passed away, it says, then he got up from the ground and washed and put on regular clothes and so forth. And when his servants asked him what's going on, he explained to them, while the baby was still alive, I'm asking Hashem to maybe overturn the Gzeira. But now, now that the baby has passed away, then I have to accept Hashem's Gzeira with Ava. So we see on the face of it that he didn't do the regular dinim of Avelos. The pashtus, because the baby was only a week old and you don't sit Avelos for a baby that young. There's a few different interesting answers, one of them being that David is a king and a king has to appear beautiful in front of everybody. So therefore, maybe a king is allowed to wash and wear regular clothes and so forth when he's an oval, but everybody else not. But in any case, we would see then that to a certain extent, the dinim of Avelos applied to him. And so we see that only after he comforted Bathsheba, only after Shiva is over, only then were they able to have relations. Minuda mal betashkish amita. What?
And she said Avelos for parents only?
No, the dinim of Shiva applied to all close relatives. It applied to seven relatives. Parents, siblings, spouse, and children. Minuda mal betashkish amita. What about is a minuda allowed to have relations with his wife? Amar Rav Yosef Toshma. So Rav Yosef says we can prove. A Braisa says Kol Oisin Shonim Shoy Yisrael B'Midbar Mindunin Hoyu. All the 40 years that the Jewish people were in the desert after the Chet HaMeraglim, they were in Nidui for Hashem. V'Shimshu Mitaseyan, and yet they had relations. Now Tosfos points out everything else that we said until now, we don't have a clear proof one way or the other what the Dor HaMidbar did. But here it's obvious that the Dor HaMidbar had relations. After all, they had children which were the next generation who entered Eretz Yisrael. So obviously they must have been having relations. And we see therefore that even though they were nidui in to Hashem, nevertheless they're still allowed. So that shows that a menudah is allowed. But Abaya says, how is that a proof? Maybe somebody who's a nidu to Shemayim is more lenient, and therefore the rules that apply to a regular menuda wouldn't apply to him. And what do you mean kill? What do you mean lenient? V'amet chomer. All this time you've been saying that maybe a menuda to Shemayim is more stringent. You said, as far as, for example, tearing clothes, does he have to? And we said that, or for example, wrapping up their heads, we said that we're covering their faces. We said that when they're menudim l'shamayim, they have to. And Rabbi Yosef wanted to prove that shows that a regular menuda has to. And Abaye says maybe menuda l'shamayim is more stringent. And we had a couple of other ones also. We said that there's no proof just because a menuda l'shamayim has to do certain things doesn't show that a menuda by based in shalmata has to do these things. So throughout the thing, Abaye has been saying that a menuda l'shamayim is more stringent. Now all of a sudden he's saying it's less stringent, that maybe for that reason the Jewish people in the Midbar would be able to have relations, but a regular menuda would not. And the answer is sepukim esapile. Abaye is not sure whether nidui from Hashem is more or less stringent than nidui from Beistin. So therefore, zilahach kamadchale v'zilahach kamadchale. So no matter which way you go, Abaye is going to say, whenever you're trying to bring a proof from menuda l'shamayim, you can't prove it. Maybe a menuda l'shamayim is more stringent than menuda by Beistin. Maybe not. So therefore, you can't prove one way or the other. Okay. Metzora ma'u b'tash mishamita. Is a metzora allowed to have relations with his wife? And an interesting point, by the way, is how are we even asking whether a menuda is allowed to have relations with his wife if he's a nidui? If nobody's allowed to be within his four amas, then of course he can't have relations. What's the question? So different Rishonim talk about different possibilities. The Ravid says, listen, ishtei kegufa. If he's allowed to be within his own four amas, obviously, so is his wife. So the only question is whether they're allowed to have relations. Different other Rishonim talk about the Rashba, I think, and others talk about that maybe even a menuda, when we say that people have to stay more than four amas away from him, we don't mean his immediate family. His immediate family, not just his wife, but even his children, would be allowed to be within four amas of him. So the only question, a menuda is not allowed to be within four amas of anybody else, but people in his immediate family would be allowed. Okay, so the Gemara says, Metzora ma'u b'tash mishamita, is a metzora during the time when he's a metzora muchlot, when he's outside the city, is he allowed to have his wife visit him and do tash mishamita? So Toshma, the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says, V'yoshav mechutz la'aloi, when it says, during the time of the days after his saras is healed. This is what we called earlier in the Masechta, Yemei Sfiroi, the 7 days that he's counting. So the pasuk is v'yosha mechutz la'oloi, that he has to sit outside his tent. That means she'ahek menuda v'chovel, means that he's like a menuda and he's like an oval. But also with tashmish hamita, and therefore, and he's also in tashmish hamita. The ein ohalay ala ishta, because the word ohalay means his wife. Shenem aleichem erlehem shuvu lachem laaleichem, as we find after Matan Torah, Hashem tells Moshe during the 3 days before Matan Torah, you have to stay away from your spouses. Al tikshu alisha. Now after Matan Torah, you're allowed to go back to having relations. Shuvu lachem laaleichem, return to your tents, which means that now you're allowed to have relations. So therefore, so we see v'yasham mechutz laaloy means that he has to not have relations during that time. So we see that at least during the days of Sfira, he's not allowed to have relations. We had a machloikas. We had a machloikas earlier in the Masechta, in the first perek. We had the question whether during Yemei Chalutai was he also in Umutter in Tashmish Hamita. We tried with we had an opinion over there that says that he's Mutter because we see that Uziyahu who did it. We had an opinion that said that he's Oy, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Huda said that he's Osir. And then you further had a machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos over there, whether during the first part, during Yemei Hesker, during the time when he's in quarantine for the 1 week or 2 weeks until we find whether it's definitive Saras, is he also in Tashmish Hamita then? But at any rate, we see that there's a certain period during his Taras when he's definitely also Batashmash Hamidah, because the Pasuk says so. So therefore, so that shows it. Shmamina. So the Gemara says, Venifshit Nami Lemenuda. Nu, if the Braise is saying he has to be like a Menuda, isn't that our answer? That a Menuda is also Batashmash Hamidah? And the answer is, Amar of Huna Breda Pinchas, Meshameh Rav Yosef. Not necessarily, because Mikatani Shah also Shiahek Menuda Bechavel, like one of the answers that we used before in the Sugya. It doesn't say that he's also to do Tashmash Hamidah. And therefore, in that sense, he's like a menuda. It doesn't say she'osur, she'yehek, a menuda v'chavol. It says that he should be like a menuda and like an oval. Means v'miliach ranaisa, means those other areas in which he's like a menuda and an oval. But also nami, b'tash m'shamita. In addition, you have that he's also b'tash m'shamita, even though maybe a menuda is mutter. So there's no proof one way or the other whether a menuda is mutter in tash m'shamita or not. And we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, with the last thing that we're going to discuss that an oval is not allowed to do. And then we're going to get into topics about Nidui, about the details of the halachas of Nidui. So we'll deal with all of that tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.
Yes, Shekayach.